You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 111. Chase us all day. Nothing gonna stand in our way.
Yeah, let's drive. Welcome back to The Pulse. That little teaser is a song by Matthew Ebel, singer-songwriter, called Drive Away. I actually met Matt at a podcasting conference probably 2 years ago now, but I like his music, very energetic. I think you'll like it. Stay tuned for the full song, Drive Away, at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I post the links to all of the sites we mention on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. Today's topic is how to teach a lab course online. Yes, you heard me right. You can actually have an online lab course. It's really enabled by a company called Hands-On Labs. They make a series of lab packs. Here to talk to me about teaching lab courses online is Dr. Jim Brown of Ocean County College. He has a lot of experience doing this. He's a pioneer of sorts, I think. I heard him about 2 years ago at a PADLA meeting at Temple University, and he actually came here to visit us at University of the Sciences, but unfortunately I was not able to hear him that day, so I've been wanting to get him back here and on my podcast and talk about how you do this. How do you teach a lab course online? So here we go. Without further ado, here's my interview with Dr. Jim Brown. Jim, thanks for joining me in my podcast today. I appreciate your time. And why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself and what you're doing these days?
Okay. I'm Dr. Jim Brown, and I was the Dean of Science, Engineering, Health Sciences, and Human Performance at Ocean County College. We got a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and this was for nursing. We were going to put our nursing online, except for the actual clinicals. The clinicals, they called it the one-day-a-week nursing program. They would do their clinicals all in that one day, and the rest was taught totally online. Well, that worked fine. The only trouble is we realized right away the science courses, what good is a one-day-a-week nursing program if they had to come in 3 days a week to take anatomy and physiology face-to-face and microbiology. So we needed to get science there right away. And we were pretty good at doing online courses at the time. The only thing is, you know, hey, how do you put a laboratory into it? So my boss, Dr. John Larson at Ocean County College, he's the president. He went to a meeting and he came back and says, hey, Jim, I'd like you to look into this lab in a box thing. These are called lab packs, and it's done by Hands-On Labs, and they're out of Colorado. And what they did is this one guy was a professor of chemistry, and he started in his garage years ago making these things. And it was really cool. He would put this box together, and everything you would need to go in that box to have a hands-on science experience. And he got really good at this with his own class and that sort of thing. And then people started to ask him, hey, can you do one of these for me? And before you know it, he had a cottage industry. Well, when I went out and visited the place, I realized it wasn't a cottage industry. They were they had quite a large operation there, and it was cool. They had almost any science you could name that you would teach in for us in a community college. And we ended up putting 14 different science courses totally online. Everything from physics to chemistry, microbiology, anatomy and physiology. And what we had done is we started with anatomy and physiology. For nursing, you pretty much need anatomy to really start nursing. So what happened is we put up a website. We were just ready to go, and we were expecting, you know, people from Ocean County. Well, all of a sudden, we start getting discovered by students in Alaska. And they came and they, you know, I guess they wanted to know, gee, will the course transfer and all the rest? So what we would do is we would share information with their dean, and they were quite happy. It was a hands-on experience. And So they started signing up, and it was amazing. We would get these students coming in from Alaska. They'd take anatomy and physiology 1 and 2 with us, and then microbiology, and then they'd go back to Alaska and take their nursing there. So before we knew it, we were national almost overnight. Then we realized people were asking for other courses besides A&P and microbiology. We put up chemistry and introduction to chemistry, and then we just kept going. We just decided, well, you know what, we can do this. Let's put Bio 1 up, Bio 2, that kind of thing. And before we knew it, we had 14 online courses in almost all aspects of science.
Wow, that's a pretty compelling story. There have to be some issues, some problems that you had to overcome. The first thing that comes to my mind is how do you get your local faculty on board with this? So did you have much skepticism there to overcome?
That was rather tough. On anything new you're going to try, you have the early adopters, and they will, they're kind of willing to try anything. And what was good, the early adopters helped sell it to the rest. At first, we actually had, it was a wonderful experience. We had one of the senior members in anatomy and physiology jumped on board right away. And we had this one professor who was actually an adjunct for us. He came on board, and eventually we had him as the coordinator of science because he had a lot of experience doing this sort of thing. But we there was another sort of brand new professor we had in anatomy and physiology, and the three got together and really worked as a team. And I've never seen this work this well before. The three of them really got together with this, and before you knew it, they, you know, had a wonderful course together. And that was key. And then once that happened, and especially we had one of the venerable science professors basically say, hey, this is kind of fun and it's working. One by one, we started winning them all over. And some of the most adamant professors at the time against it, one by one, they came on board, and now pretty much they're all there. It turned out to be a very good experience. The other thing we had for an instructional designer, and this was just, it changed at the last minute. He had a PhD in biophysics, and he was from Russia. And a lot of times, you know, people would be, you know, well, what do you know about science, you know? And he knew a lot about science. We had this joke about, you know, him being a rocket scientist, and indeed, biophysics, he was, he impressed everybody. So that, having him have that unique background in science and the instructional designer, it was wonderful. The other wonderful thing that came on board at the time, there's what they call soft chalk in nursing. Mm-hmm. When we first started, so many of them would put up this outline and a bunch of PowerPoints. Well, that doesn't do it for an online course. You've got to have something fun, exciting, engaging. And we didn't have that. And like this one professor I remember had this outline. It was like the most extensive outline I've ever seen in the world. You couldn't get to sleep at night. Look at your online course, it would do it. So there were egos that we had to deal with there because they thought it was wonderful. And the students, you know, just, this is, you know, this is horrible. I could read a book and do this, you know. And what we did is this instructional designer brought in soft chalk. And it was fantastic because the nice thing about soft chalk, at the end of every page, you can put in some kind of a game, drop and drag, that sort of thing, crossword puzzles. And it made it interesting. And you could pull in videos. It was just, and the nice thing is, at that time, I was designing using Dreamweaver, which makes beautiful websites. It really does. But you didn't have the interactivity. This thing you could teach any professor in about 2 hours, and they could get going with this thing. So it was really cool. It worked. And so between the lab packs, taking care of the laboratory side of it, and this taking care of the interactivity, we had a really good matchup. And the students loved the online courses because they were fun, they were exciting. When I see online courses from other places, it's basically, you'll see some videos and they'll go in and put an extensive PowerPoint, that sort of thing, but it's really not interactive. So right. It worked. That combination was wonderful.
When you say an online course, is it, was there also synchronous sessions or was mostly asynchronous?
I learned the tough way here. I started out as an assistant dean at New Jersey City University, and I did their first online course, but I had to take one first. And at that time, they had me do one at UCLA. Well, they were really into synchronous courses at the time. But the trouble is, I lived in New Jersey, and of course, they're California. So I'd have to get online with them at 11 o'clock at night. Well, that was not convenient. I realized this was a huge problem, and asynchronous was really the way to go. And especially as we went around the world, I mean, now we're dealing with soldiers in Afghanistan.
Wow.
Who, they've got their microscope, I've got mine, I'm using Skype, showing them how to use it. And I mean, when it's daylight there, it's the middle of the night here. And it just, you know, synchronous. Now, I will get up and do that, you know, for a, you know, one-on-one sort of thing. I'm kind of a night owl anyhow. But, you know, doing that for a bunch of students, they're all on different time schedules. It right. just didn't work. We had asynchronous, and that seemed to work.
Now, getting back to the use of the lab packs again. So each lab pack was a specific experiment, and what the students would open up the box on their kitchen table and follow, I guess, written instructions in the lab pack. Describe what the experience would be like for a student.
Well, it was really cool. You would get everything you needed in that lab pack, including the lab manual. So they were actually, you know, when you figured they didn't have to buy a lab book, because your average lab book runs maybe almost $100. So it was all in this little lab pack. I teach microbiology. That's my specialty. And I've done that for years. Well, what's cool, they get a little microscope, an oil immersion lens, so they're actually able to see the bacteria. And they'll grow up their own bacteria. They have little plates to do that. And each experiment, what I really love about the microbiology lab packs, it mimics what's going on in a clinical laboratory in a hospital. Most of the students taking it are nurses. And this way they would actually see, you know, and find out what the person down in the lab does when you send down a specimen to get worked up. And these were harmless organisms. These were biosafety level one organisms. You could almost eat the thing. They would grow their organisms up. They would look at it under the microscope, and they would do some chemical reactions on it. Each one was a separate, like each week was a separate thing. Like this week, we're going to stain the bacteria with a Gram stain. And at the very end, it would progress all the way through. And the last thing you do in a lab in a hospital is you do what's called a culture and sensitivity. The sensitivity part of it is we're going to use antibiotics and see what the organism is susceptible to. So this way, you know, oh, don't even try penicillin. It's resistant. Mm-hmm. However, tetracycline will work, you know, that sort of thing. So it's cool. It really did mimic that environment. And each week would be a different laboratory. And it was, you know, pretty much designed on a 15-week semester. Mm-hmm. So you would have maybe 13, 14 laboratories. And they would write them up. I actually asked them to take pictures. So they could take a picture, actually with a smartphone, you can do it right through the microscope.
Right.
It is so cool. Just about any smartphone will do the trick.
Were there situations where the student would run into trouble doing the experiment? Would they? What kind of support was available, you know, at the time they were doing the experiment? If it's on a, you know, a weekend and they were in the midst of something, had a question, how would they solve their issue?
In a typical, let's say, when they come in and do it face-to-face, they would have a lab partner. Well, I would say it is fine for you to use a virtual lab partner who happened to be 1,000 miles away. So the students would make friends and they would help each other through it. I tried to get on at least once a day, even weekends. If I'm someplace, I'll check in, see if somebody's having a problem. And then I would set up a set time where I could say, okay, well, you know what? Why don't we talk to each other over the phone, da-da-da-da-da, and what's a convenient time for you? And I could do that. And then I realized Skype, you could actually do a lot more with that. And I especially found this was very useful for soldiers in the field, Afghanistan, what have you, as a way of doing the one-on-one to try to get them over the hump. But if you're there or you have another student who can help them out, it's beautiful. And as I say, I have them taking pictures.
Some of them got really sharp with the videos, especially the motility under the microscope. They'd shoot it. They'd share it with the rest of the class. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience seeing that. And the other thing would happen is, let's say, now this is particular in microbiology. You have to grow the thing up. It usually, you know, takes overnight or 2 days to grow it up. Well, sometimes they get no growth. And that's the same thing you get in a hospital. So what you would do is say, okay, well, let's try to redo it and all the rest. Sometimes you'd need to cut them a little break at the end. End of a semester, you couldn't have, you'd have to say, okay, well, you know what? I can get you another week there. So finishing it up, because to me, it was important. They go through and they do finish. And you have to bend it some, because bacteria, you know, if they don't grow, you got to try them again. But that's also a learning experience.
That's right.
You can't have that hard and fast rule where, okay, on this day it ends and that's it. So in a typical, you know, summer class, that sort of thing, I may have two or three students need another week or so, a week and a half to finish up. And with me, especially when I was dean, hey, I got to call the shots on that. So that wasn't a problem. And this way, we'd have incredible retention rates. Hmm. Speaking about retention rates. Very important. I've found this true of every course I've ever taught online. If they don't get on right away, I would end up actually calling them up on the phone and saying, hey, it's Jim Brown. I'm teaching whatever course, and I see you haven't been able to get into your course. Anything I can do to help? Because so many, that's just at that, it's deer in the headlights. They're like, oh, gee, how do I do this? And by having a phone call and saying, okay, yeah, just look on the right side of your computer there. You'll see a little button, that type of thing. It gets them over the hump, and they realize you're approachable. You mm-hmm. They can call you. I give them my cell phone, mm-hmm. and I just let them know. Now, here's the thing. I'm in New Jersey. I got kids. They go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. Abby's going to get mad at you if you call after that. But they're very respectful of that. By having that initial contact, if they're getting stuck in the mud, and then they realize all the way through they can approach you. It works out to be a wonderful experience.
People are also going to want to know what the cost is. Does the school foot the bill, or are the students pay for each lab pack? How does that work?
Generally, the students pay for the lab pack, and it depends on the school. Let's say if they're on financial aid, they might have to purchase it through their bookstore. So the bookstore will order a few. They can purchase it there, but generally they use a credit card. And what's nice is they ship the next day. So if they order it, half a week it's there. And what I do is the first week they're getting used to the course anyhow. So they get their lab pack and get it set up and go through, you know, all the biosafety procedures involved in it. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big deal. And it's not when you think of what their savings in New Jersey, what they would be doing is driving to Ocean County College 3 days a week. For biology or anatomy and physiology, considering you don't have to drive there. Even if you live next door, the convenience is tremendous. So some lab packs, and it depends what you're teaching, can run like $199. Others, microbiology, I think, is the most expensive, and that's $299. Plus, you have to buy a microscope. But that microscope, and it's a neat little microscope, $125 for the microscope, and I think $51 for the oil immersion lens. And that way you can see the bacteria. But the nice thing is that microscope, you can use that same microscope for anatomy and physiology one, and anatomy and physiology two, and microbiology. So you can share that cost there. Mm-hmm. And when you think of what I spend in gasoline filling up my car.
That's true.
That's a $65 bill right there. And how many times am I going to be driving down there? So especially in a community college, the fact they don't have to drive, really, it more than outweighs. So I've never had the problem with students saying, oh, I can't afford that. I just say, well, how much does it cost you to get to school?
Yeah. Right, right.
That's the seller right there.
Well, listen, we're almost out of time. This time has really flown. My institution, University of the Sciences, as you know, is basically a science institution, pharmacy, occupational therapy. And I know there's some resistance from our faculty. If you had to try to convince one of our faculty members to give it a try, what would you say to them?
Well, what I do, I have a big advantage. I was the director of microbiology for Roche, Roche Biomedical Labs. It was the largest, at that time, the Raritan location was the largest private clinical lab in the world. And so I had that kind of experience. And then I was also the assistant commissioner of health in New Jersey. Oh, I headed the division of public health and environmental labs. And I regulated every clinical lab in the state of New Jersey. So this, I had a tremendous background. Oh, and I'm also board certified. So I had a major advantage over most professors. Most professors do not have a background like that. I've been all over the world with microbiology. So when I would show them, and then also we got these wonderful recommendations when a lot of the other state health departments looked at it, many of them would send their employees. They got there, they wanted to give them some additional education. They would have them take and recommend the online course because it was taught by a former assistant commissioner and a head of the lab. So that helped. It really did. And so that way, when it came to some professor someplace saying, oh, I don't know about this, and it's like, well, it mimics a hospital experience. It really does. Yeah. And when they see it, I would send them the whole lab manual. And when they saw it, you know, their eyes would say, wow, you can do all this. And they really are using the microscope. And we did this with sort of everything we were doing. It's for real. It's not a Mickey Mouse. I don't want to put down Mickey Mouse. I love Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm saying? It was a real experience, a hands-on experience. And transferring, that was the other thing. They would accept it and transfer. Some of our students took those courses, went then transferred to University of Pennsylvania, Columbia, and Cornell. You get that sort of, hey, here's a little community college, and here's many of the big boys accepting it. So that really helped.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate your time. It's a lot of food for thought for us. I'm sure a lot of my audience would be interested in learning more. On my show notes, I'll have links to the LabPax website and I'm sure they have some demos on there that folks can look at. And so, Jim, thanks again. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I don't know about you, but it's quite amazing that this seems to work so well, teaching a lab course online. If you want more information, please go to my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. And Jim provided a number of links with some articles and presentation PowerPoints that you might find useful. So take a look. Now stay tuned for the full song Drive Away by Matthew Ebel.
There was a time when nothing stood in between us. Now there's a curve in the road so sharp it'll make you bleed. Can't find each other in the same old gridlock. Maybe a little escape, what we need. Living your love and your work like a dog every morning. The city's a pain like the latte stain on your dress. Get in the van before you break down. It don't cost a dime to leave this town. Get on the road cause we gotta get out of this mess. All day, nothing gonna stand in our way. Yeah, let's drive away. Love was a word in a song, and I took it. Granted, a bump in the road, not really a part of the drive. Come on, Kiwana, it's alright. You made me believe tonight. It's love that makes it so damn good to be alive. Oh, so let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us on. Stand in our way, yeah. Let's drive. every morning, the coffee shops and the bar. Maybe, maybe it's too late. Maybe, baby, it's just fate. Maybe you'll take my hand and we'll get in the car. So let's drive.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.